Chapter 4. The Eldar were clad in crimson armour, its hue offset by a sinuous white rune. Hagarin pulled a designation from his memory. Saim Han, the same force that the White Scars and Raven Guard had encountered. He took in their weaponry. Like the Salamanders, they were conserving ammunition, primarily using their guns to crush orc skulls. But when they fired, the orcs before them vaporized. Melter weapons, Hagarin realized. He was looking at a squad of fire dragons. Two had fallen. There were eight remaining. One in more ornate armor was wielding a heavy flamer of some sort and was a bit more free with the trigger. A ninth member of the squad wore robes over his armor and fought with a blade whose elegance and lethality shrieked its sorcerous nature. The Eldar were fighting hundreds of orcs. They moved with a fluidity that should have been foreign to armor, as if they were wearing blood-red light and were made of nothing more than thought themselves. There was a choreography to their combat, as there was to the Salamanders, but it was very different in its nature. The Salamanders worked together with the precision of a finely tuned engine of destruction. There was something of the machine in their synchrony, for which Hagarin gave thanks. The Tekmarine knew very little of the arts outside of warfare and its monumental representations, but he knew that they existed. Perhaps more in Ultramar, where life wasn't perpetually on the knife edge of extinction. The movement of the Eldar was, he felt instinctively, of a kind with those other arts. The rhythms weren't the unvarying pulse of machinery. They were syncopated, complex, unpredictable, as unknowable as the race itself. Alien. Hagarin knew that he was seeing a method of warcraft that was beautiful in and of itself. He did not like it. Still, it was remarkable. But though the Eldar were dropping orcs by the dozens, it was insufficient. The fire dragons were doomed. The space was an arena. Concentric circles of seating descended steeply to a pit not much more than 10 meters in diameter. The Salamanders had entered behind the top row of benches. Their goal was a gated tunnel at one end of the pit. The logic of the path Hagarin had chosen now became clear to him. The arena was used for gladiatorial combat between slaves. The surface of the pit was deep in the stew of corpses, human and otherwise, in every stage of dismemberment and decomposition. The slaves would be herded in from the tunnel to fight to the death. Hagarin did not know if they were given weapons. He suspected they were not. The barbarism was irrelevant. He filed it away. What mattered now was that the tunnel would lead to the slave pens and to their target. There was almost a full second during which a decision hovered. The Salamanders saw a clash of enemies. One was a plague upon the galaxy. The other was a particular curse upon Nocturne. The decision was not whether to interfere in the conflict, and it was not whether to attack one side or the other. The question was whether to kill both as they fought their way to the tunnel. The Eldar were clustered about 3/4 of the way down the slope. They appeared to be trying to reach the pit, too. They were bogged down. They were a force that would be fearsome in confined quarters, but in the open they were vulnerable. The orcs were upon them in a flood. From the top of the arena, Hagarin could even see currents and eddies in the rampage of the greenskins. The second, and truly it was a full second, passed. The orcs on the upper levels turned to welcome the Salamanders with open arms and hacking blades. Babirin said, "Slay the greenskins! Do not fire on the Eldar!" The decision was a sound one, in keeping with the objectives of the mission. And like the mission itself, It rankled. There was too much history, and it was too dark for things to be otherwise. But the salamanders accepted the test and vented their wrath on the orcs. Numerous as the brutes were, there was room to fight in the arena, room to shoot, and room to swing a weapon properly. Barbirin and Neleus struck first, once more leading by burning the plan of attack into the flesh of the enemy. They opened with a flamer blast, their promethium jets bathing the closest ranks of orcs. The brutes turned into wailing, stumbling torches. They fell back against their kin, spreading the pain like a burning ripple over a pond of green scum. Straight ahead, a path through scorched bodies opened up. The salamanders stormed into the breach. Hagaren built on the opening move. He advanced between the two sergeants. His servo arms swung forwards, then out, crushing rib cages and smashing spines. His shoulder-mounted flamer fired, incinerating the orcs that were trying to charge up the gap. More bodies, more collateral burns, but still more greenskins were rushing forwards over their flaming dead. Hagaren didn't think there was any other race, barring the Tyranids, who were so completely unafraid of death. The orcs' fears were far more irrational and would take much more than the wholesale slaughter of their own to invoke. He would show them how wrong they were not to fear the salamanders. He took another 2 steps forwards, brandishing his chain axe. He had the high ground. He dropped down the next tier of benches and swung his weapon in a wide horizontal stroke. It roared as if hungry. Its teeth fed on flesh, muscle, and bone. It sliced deep into the chest of the leading orc as it tried to climb the riser. The top half of the beast toppled backwards, while the bottom stood upright for a second after death. Hagaren's swing sideswiped 2 other orcs on either side of the leader, the impact sending them stumbling back. Then Barbirin and Neleus were at Hagaren's flanks, striking with their own chainswords. Behind them came supporting fire, bolter shells blasting greenskins to pulp. The salamanders descended the tiers of the arena like a lava flow from Mount Deathfire. They were flame and rock, scorching the enemy and grinding him into the filth of his own decking. They conserved ammunition by limiting themselves to sharp bursts of flamer and bolter that were just enough to make the orcs reel, and then followed up with close-quarters hacking. There was no pause in their killing march, no stopping their momentum. The orcs weren't limiting themselves to blades now, but their gunfire was a weak threat. It was wild and undisciplined, and much of it wound up cutting down their own troops as they tried to close with the Space Marines. Stray rounds struck Hagaren's armor. He ignored them. The salamanders advanced. They punched through the orcs, and the Eldar responded to the shift in the battlefield. The fire dragons changed their focus. No longer struggling to reach the pit, they began to make their way back up the slope of the arena. They were going to link up with the salamanders, trapping a riot of orcs between the 2 disciplined forces. And with that, the salamanders were working in concert with the Eldar. Hagaren glanced at Barbirin. The gesture was unthought, automatic, the product of decades of habit suddenly resurfacing, a vestigial reflex that no longer meant shared battlefield cynicism. And yet, the portion of his consciousness that, since Mars, had become a process of perpetual analysis, noted the reaction and tagged it for later examination. It noted, too, that Barbirin had made the same gesture. Preliminary analysis. Old alliances strengthened, restored in face of extraordinary new circumstances. Interesting, but hardly relevant. Very relevant was the most effective way of disposing of the orcs before him. His flamer blast joined that of the two sergeants. Orcs fell. The salamanders were over halfway to the pit. They were closing on the Eldar position. The rockets hit the riser between the Space Marines and the Eldar. The orcs took the direct hit. Benches and decking blew into shrapnel. Metal torn into jagged blades whipped into the squads, along with chunks and limbs of orcs. Four explosions, disorienting with skull-ringing surprise. The force of the blast staggered Hagaren. Momentum faltered. Through the smoke, Hagaren saw the Eldar reeling too. He looked up. Massive armored orcs stood at the top of the arena, spread out along its periphery. They were discarding what looked like large sticks that were smoking at one end. They were very basic, single-use rocket launchers. So simple, Hagaren thought. Their effectiveness was insulting. He didn't know if the bombardment had missed its intended targets or not, but its impact shifted the strategic balance. Both parties of invaders were stunned. The orcs outside the radius of the explosions were unfazed and charging. Small, snivelling greenskins were handing new rocket sticks to their masters. A plasma cutter was mounted on the left shoulder of Hagaren's servo harness. He fired it now, shearing off the arm of one of the giants. It howled in annoyance, then stared down at the ground with an expression of stupid surprise before its weapon exploded, smearing the orc and its retinue across the scorched walls. The fire dragons recovered at the same time and drew their fusion guns. Melter beams of an intensity that Hagaren envied struck the other rocket-wielding orcs. They vanished in a flash of heat that seemed frozen in its purity. Flamer and bolter fire from the salamanders drove the orcs back again, but only just. Another rocket assault would have been lethal. The Space Marines and Eldar were in the open. Their armor did not make them invincible. The attack had been good tactics. The orc resistance was becoming organized. Orders were being given, orders with some thought to strategy, however crude. Through the arena entrances came more orcs, all of them brandishing heavy weapons, too many to take down at this distance. Hagaren saw annihilation loom ahead. Annihilation even had a shape. A gigantic silhouette appeared behind the troops, towering above all the other orcs. It seemed too huge to pass through the doorway, but on it came, a striding mountain of darkness and brawn. The allotted span for all life in the arena was measured in seconds. The salamanders used those seconds, so did the Eldar. Flamers and fusion guns on full, ammo conservation be damned. The two forces turned as one and blasted exterminating fire down the bowl of the arena. They ran into the wake of their blasts, scorching armor. There was no pause in the wave of flame. Fuel canisters depleted as a swath of orcs 5 meters wide vanished, replaced by charcoal and burning logs of bone. Eldar and Space Marines punched through the last of the orcs like a spear-tipped battering ram. A fusion beam melted the gate. The Eldar, furthest down the rise, were first into the mouth of the tunnel. The salamanders were at their heels. Hagaren splashed through the pit, the traces of 1,000 miserable deaths crunching and splitting beneath his boots. He sensed the space above him hold its breath as something monstrous roared a command. He plunged into the dubious shelter of the tunnel. The very air of the arena exploded. The rocket bombardment was an embodiment of will and totality. It was madness to use ordnance of such size and in such quantity inside a ship. For a moment, the sun rose behind Barberin. The blast wave slammed air into the tunnel like a giant fist, flattening every soul to the ground. As he fell, Barberin saw a fire dragon hurled against the wall where the tunnel bent. The Eldar crumpled to the ground, a shattered doll with too many joints. Flame followed with a hollow, booming roar. Even through the protection of his helmet's rebreather, Barberin felt the air inside his lungs turn scorching dry. He held his breath, waiting for the worst of the fire to pass. As the oxygen in the tunnel was consumed, the fire abated. In its place came choking smoke, roiling with toxic particulates and organic ash. The world's end thunder of the explosions faded. The aftermath was a chorus of crackling flame and groaning metal.
"Give me the count!"
Nelius shouted. The salamanders called out their names. Brother Corbin did not. Barberin followed Nelius back to the mouth of the tunnel. Corbin had been caught by the blast. He was tangled in the rubble at the entrance. His armor had been reduced to slag, less by the heat than by the direct force of the explosions themselves. His body had been pierced by an assemblage of metal. Perhaps it had once been decking, perhaps part of a wall or some seating, perhaps all three. It had become a missile. Now it was a sculpture, a writhing, tortured abstraction of agony. Nelius spoke softly.
"Look," he said. "Look what he did."
Barberin was confused at first. Then the meaning of Corbin's crucified corpse became clear. His outstretched arms and legs were not an accident of death. Corbin had done what he could to block the tunnel mouth with his body, absorbing fire and forming a new barrier by becoming one with the debris. He had sacrificed himself to save his brothers from the worst of the explosions.
"Thank you, brother,"
Barberin murmured. The loss was even greater than that of a single warrior. Corbin's progenoid glands were beyond salvaging. His genetic code was lost to the salamanders forever. The circle of fire, the process of rebirth as asserted by the Promethean Creed, was broken. They rejoined Hagaren at the head of the formation. The Tech Marine stood motionless, except for the plasma cutter on his servo harness. It traced a gentle arc back and forth as if scanning the Xenos before it. The Eldar had recovered. Salamanders and fire dragons eyed each other warily. Weapons were at the ready, but not trained on targets. There was enough consciousness of shared circumstances to hold off conflict for the moment.
"Now what?" Nelius asked.
"Insight would be welcome," Barberin answered.
From the destroyed arena came the first sounds of orcs clambering down to investigate the results of their handiwork. The huge voice was bellowing orders again. The greenskins would be here before long. The robed Eldar stepped forwards. He glanced first at the flamer-wielding commander and received a nod. His blade was unsheathed, but he was not brandishing it. It seemed rather as if the sword were as much a limb as his arms and moved as part of the Eldar's expression of self. He reeked of witch. When he spoke, his Gothic was accented but arrogantly precise, as if he were instructing the salamanders in the use of their own language.
"Warriors of the human emperor, greetings. I am, by name, Kaderial, and by deduction, certain that we are on this ship with the same purpose.
And your conclusion? Barberin asked.
The urgent need for an alliance, and the need, as urgent again, to avoid conflict.
He sheathed his sword. The sudden economy of gesture made it seem as if even keeping things simple were a luxury and an art. The noises of the orc approach were drawing closer.
Agreed, Barberin said.
Kadiriel nodded. I am, by joy, surprised.
The hyperbole grated, but Barberin let it pass.
We should go, he said.
Agreed, in turn. Shall we lead?
Without waiting for an answer, the Eldar moved off with his troops. Barberin gestured for the salamanders to follow, and he marched after the Eldar.
Brother Sergeant,
Nkrumor voxed over the company channel.
Are we really? We are, Barberin told the apothecary. Or would you rather not keep a close eye on an enemy force whose target is the same as yours?
A sound strategy, Hagaren offered.
Thank you, Barberin said, and realized that his distrust of Hagaren had tempered.
He did not understand his brother's altered way of thinking and worried that his judgment was suspect at best. But Hagaren was at least starting from a human standpoint, however far he had travelled from it. The conversation with the Eldar warlock had been disconcerting. One did not talk with orcs. They barely seemed to talk with each other. The only possible interaction with that race was a clash of arms. There was a comfortable simplicity, then, to their alien qualities. Orcs also had but one mode of existence, attack. They were predictable. But the Eldar were a hated mystery. The fact that one could communicate with some of them only compounded their disgusting otherness. This contingent was particularly off-putting. Their predilection for flame and their drake-like iconography gave them a touch of the familiar that only made them even more alien. Hagaren strode forwards, his servo harness turning him into a multi-limbed creature of metal. The Eldar moved with grace, and their armor had a flexibility that made it seem more raiment than protection. They were entirely of the organic realm. Hagaren was far down the path to the inorganic. He was disappearing, it seemed, to Barberin, into the realm of the machine. He marched with clockwork precision, servo arms flexing and grasping, shoulder mounts swiveling from target to target, even as his chain axe was angled diplomatically down. There was no trace of the flesh in his heavy, perfectly measured tread. Yet in this moment, in the presence of true Xenos, he was completely human. Eldar and salamanders moved down the tunnel. It ran straight for a few hundred meters. There were no branches. The metalwork was so rough it was as if the passage were a cave mined out of a mountain of iron. It was wide enough for the space marines to walk two abreast. Barberin suspected beasts sometimes chased the slaves out into the pit. There were plenty of rotting bits of bodies. People had lost limbs in this tunnel. There were claw gouges here and there in the walls. Neelius voxed for his ears only.
They have their backs to us. How are they watching us?
You assume that they are.
They have to be.
Barberin nodded. The one who spoke to us is a witch of some sort.
Sending one to find one. Sensible.
Any suggestions for what we do once we reach the prisoner?
Other than kill them before they kill us?
Neelius's grin was almost visible through his helmet.
Then we agree that that should be our plan.
There can be no other.
Nelius sounded much less jocular.
Brother sergeants,
a voice interrupted. It was Berengus. He had the long-range vox equipment.
I have received an urgent message from Captain Malsibar.
I'm sure it's good news, Nelius said.
The Raven Guard's mission, Planetside, has been successful,
Berengus began.
I congratulate my brothers,
Barberin interrupted.
But we already knew that, and the tactical relevance of this information,
culminating in the annihilation of Eldar ground forces,
Berengus finished.
Thank you, brother, Barberin said. Please alert the others.
He tightened his grip on his flamer, lifting the muzzle just a little bit higher, ready to stream death at a moment's notice.
Do you think they know? Nelius wondered.
They must.
There has been no detectable broadcast since the beginning of this encounter,
Hagarin put in as the information reached him.
That means nothing, Barberin said. The Eldar are masters of sorcerous communication.
Then why aren't they attacking?
Nelius demanded.
For the same reason we aren't.
The mission is paramount,
Hagarin said, completing the thought. The tunnel ended in a long chamber filled floor to ceiling with cages. They were rough cubes, about a meter and a half on each side. There were no platforms or walkways reaching to the upper prisons, just a tangle of rope ladders. Some of the cages were empty. Most were not. Inside the tiny boxes were the arena participants. Barberin saw humans, Eldar, Kroot, and more. There were even a few orcs. This was a menagerie in which the differences between species had been all but erased. The prisoners were all feral, ravening rage and gibbering fear. He didn't hear a single intelligible word, only the whining pleas and growling threats of beasts. There was nothing to salvage here. A conflagration would be nothing less than euthanasia.
Is our target here?
He asked Hagarin, eyeing the advance of the Eldar carefully. The tech marine shook his head.
Nearby, but not part of this collection. These are not slaves. Not any longer.
Where then?
A moment passed, a tick during which Barberin sensed Hagarin's consciousness vanishing into a mechanistic meditation, as if he were a walking cogitator. Then he was back.
Down another level, he said. Then we look.
Ahead, the Eldar had stopped. They had spread out in a rough circle and appeared to be focused on a section of decking. Cadariel gestured Barberin forwards.
I am, by circumstance, delighted, he said. Farseer Elisat, reaching the end of his misfortune, lies almost directly below.
Barberin glanced back and forth between the deck and the Eldar.
You are suggesting cutting through?
Motivated by strategy, I am.
Nelius said, You don't appear equipped for this sort of work.
The same thought had occurred to Barberin as he ran his eyes over the Eldar arsenal. He didn't know what they had concealed on their persons, but they weren't holding anything other than their primary weapons. The fusion guns would punch through the deck easily enough, but they would also vaporize anything beneath. The prisoner would not survive such a rescue. Cadariel spread his hands.
We are, by the fates, embarrassed.
His ornate conical helmet turned Hagaren's way.
While you, by the same, are prepared.
Barberin glanced at Hagaren's plasma cutter.
You are inviting us to gain initial entry to the target's prison?
Cardariel stepped to one side. He made a sweeping, expansive gesture that took in both deck and salamanders.
By our wishes, he said.
Brother Sergeant,
Hagaren voxed.
I've never seen such a shameless trap,
Nelius observed, still on the company channel.
It can afford to be, Barbarin said. We can't refuse it.
We don't know what Hagaren will be cutting into.
It is not likely to be explosive,
Hagaren put in.
Or the Eldar would be destroyed also. They are too close.
Nelius wasn't placated.
It isn't likely to be the location of our target either.
When Hagaren spoke again, it was with resignation.
There is little choice. Furthermore, I estimate that the likelihood of our being in the immediate vicinity of the target is high. So,
he moved forwards.
With our thanks, Forge Master,
Cardariel said.
Hagaren froze.
He could still take offense,
Barbarin noted.
I am no such thing,
the Tech Marine snapped at the Eldar.
There is but one Master of the Forge, and that is Master Argos. You taint his honor and mine with your tongue.
Cardariel cocked his head. Perhaps, my apologies, by your leave.
He seemed amused.
Still, by your path, you are exceptionally at one with the machine.
Hagaren ignored the comment. He lowered his cutter-wielding servo arm until it was close to floor level. The plasma beam sliced metal, scalpel in flesh. Hagaren traced a large rectangle, far larger than would be needed for simple access down below. He was thinking, Barbarin realized, of squad movements, planning for speed and force. The Eldar stepped back out of the way of the widening perimeter. They made no objection. Barbarin's suspicions grew.
They're being much too accommodating,
Nelius said, echoing his thoughts. Barbarin said nothing, but as Hagaren completed the cut, he raised his flamer. He angled it towards the floor, ready to incinerate whatever might lunge from below, but it would take nothing to jerk the muzzle higher and train it on the fire dragons. Hagaren's two manipulator servo arms reached down and fastened their vice grips to the decking. He finished. The outline of the cut was incandescent. He gave the decking a yank. It lifted as a single piece, 3 meters long by 2 wide. The Eldar did not rush in. Barbarin took a cautious step forwards to see what was below. More of the orc ship's sickly penumbral light. He was looking at another corridor with more cells on either side of it. The drop was a short one. The space was not cavernous like the one where they stood. The cries of prisoners moaned up through the gap. The babble of pleas drowned out individual voices, but Barbarin could still make out the articulations of words and phrases. The souls down there were still sentient. Theirs, he thought, was the more cruel fate. They could hope for rescue and despair when it did not come.
Where is he? Barbarin asked.
Aft and port, by my numbers, said Cardariel. A few lengths more.
He made an elaborately casual hand gesture that suggested both an apology and shrug.
Cutting directly above, by my thinking, would have been lethal to our lost one.
Quite, Barbarin said.
He and Nelius faced each other, sharing a silent debate. Split the squads or descend together? Attack the Eldar now, forestalling the trap? He recoiled at the idea of the preemptive strike.
There was no honor in the act, and though he knew the warlock was setting him up, he lacked the formal proof that would satisfy his own conscience. The salamanders had experienced treachery in the most foul form imaginable at the dawn of the heresy, and it was repugnant to consider an action that even approached that particular sin. The Eldar were a race that Barbarin despised with every fibre of his being, but the behaviour of these warriors had all the trappings of honour, even if that couldn't possibly be the truth of their actions.
Together, Nelios said.
Yes, Barbarin agreed. They would not be divided.
Brothers,
he called to the squads, and then dropped down to the deck below.
The orcs, by their noise, are not long in coming, Cadariel said. Do not tarry.
Barbarin bit back a retort. He could hear the growing savage rumble. The greenskins must have discovered that their bombardment had not produced the expected number of bodies. Aft and port, Cadariel had said. 10 meters on, the salamanders found the cell. The Eldar seer was crouched inside the claustrophobic box, weak and covered in filth, but his gaze steady. He looked more than a little confused as Hagaren ripped the door off its hinges.
Can you understand me?
Barbarin asked. When the Eldar said nothing, the Space Marine jerked a thumb and the prisoner staggered out of his cell. The salamanders moved to surround him. Down the corridor, a group of orc guards were yelling at each other and the intruders. 2 of them ran deeper into the ship. The others attacked. Berengus's bolter cut them down.
Which way?
Barbarin asked Hagaren. The tech marine looked at the cabling.
Back, he said. The routes from that deck to our entry point are more direct.
Barbarin accepted this, along with the imminence of the struggle for custody of the seer. He still couldn't see what strategic benefit the Eldar were imagining would be theirs by letting the salamanders take first possession of the prisoner. They headed back. Halfway there, Cadariel called to them.
It is done.
It is, Barbarin answered.
He braced himself. The opening was just ahead. He could see the fire dragons outlined in the noxious glow of the larger chamber.
He did not suffer long by your hands.
Barbarin froze. Calculations and assumptions crumbled. What? He thought. The Eldar had been pretending concern for the prisoner's safety. They had been assuming the salamanders were pretending too. What? What? What?
Ah, Cadariel said. This is, by its perversity, a realm most inimical to sight. But now I see.
The silhouettes moved. Fusion guns and dragon's breath fired. Everything became flame. Madness. Obliteration.